Thank you, sir. Let me just quickly make a couple of important announcements. Next Sunday night, tonight is the life groups are meeting around the city. If you're not part of a life group, you're invited to come here and join us at 6 o'clock. But if you're part of a life group, get plugged in there or talk to us about joining a life group around the city. But you're welcome to come here. We're going to talk a little more about that extraordinary, extravagant love of the Lord tonight and actually just have time for communion and just to kind of worship together. And so we'd invite you to come back tonight. We're going to have communion on Sunday morning in a couple of weeks. But a week from tonight, next Sunday night, is our annual business meeting. We'll present two names to you for your ratification as deacons. Those two that we present are Jess Trevino and Scott Parmley. And so please be here to vote and to hear the report of our finances. We'll tell you more about the youth project. We've done some remodeling upstairs for the children and for the art park. We got a new ark in the art park, and so we tore some walls out down there to make more room for the youth, and we'll tell you some more about that and see what you think about some other plans for that. And so anyway, we'll update you on all that's going on. Come next Sunday night. We'll tell you the whole story. And if you're trying to figure out, now, what's that green board? What was he talking about before they carpeted the stage in the youth room back in 2000 or during all the tornado and the rebuilding? The youth group in there when Daryl Wooten was here and it was in the line of fire then, wasn't it? Or in vision or something. It was all those things, I guess. And so a lot of the students and some of the sponsors wrote things on the stage, and then it got covered with glue and they put carpet on there. And so when we started pulling that up, we tried to save some of those things. It's kind of interesting what folk wrote. And Pastor Jeff has a lot of those things if you want to look and see if your autograph was on there or your student from 15 years ago. Well, you can take a look at that. Well, this Friday is Hallmark's favorite day, Valentine's Day. Love is in the air, isn't it? At least that's what the song said or the card said or something. All those sentiments from generations ago, you know, love makes the world go round and love's a many splendored thing and I don't know. What the world needs now is love. Plato supposedly said that love, he called it a grave mental disease. I kind of like that sentiment. Love is a grave mental disease. In other words, love will make you crazy. That's what I'm telling you. Love will just drive you out of your mind. It was the great philosopher Percy Sledge who said, that's right, Rick, who said, when a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'll trade the world for the good thing he's found. If she's bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend if he put her down. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So love can make you crazy. So watch out this Valentine's Day. But we're going to talk about more than a Valentine. People say, in fact, some songwriter said, talked about looking for love in all the wrong places. People say they're looking for love, but a lot of folks are looking in the wrong place. And a lot of folks don't really know what they're looking for. And they keep settling for less than real love because they don't know what real love looks like. So I want to talk a little bit about that. What's love and where are we going to find our definition? We can let Hallmark define love for us in their cards or American Greeting or whoever else. And you can let Hollywood define, put a shout out there because Brian's sister works for American Greeting cards, right? So she doesn't actually write the clever repartee, does she? She's in the legal or marketing or something. So you can let Hollywood define it for you, and their approach to love is a little perverse and less than holy. Or we can look to the Bible to understand something about love. And you say, well, what's the Bible have to say about love? And it actually has a whole lot to say. The Bible tells us that love comes from God, and more specifically, to be more precise and more exact, it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. It's one of the most simple and yet most complete statements in the Bible. God is love. There's a professor of philosophy that taught at Boston College for years. He's an amazing scholar and just a brilliant scholar, Peter Kraft. And in one of his books, he wrote, "Love is God's essence." Nowhere else does Scripture express God's essence in this way. Scripture says God is just and merciful, but it does not say that God is justice itself or mercy itself. But it does say that God is love, not just a lover. Love is God's very essence. And everything else is a manifestation of this essence to us, a relationship between this essence and us. This is absolute, he said. Everything else is relative to it. So we can't adequately define love apart from knowing God and His love, because God is love. The essence of love is God's essence. It's who He is. And as Dr. Crafe said, this is the absolute. Everything else is relative to it. If we're looking for love, or if we're trying to understand love or express love to someone, we have to first look to God. If we want to know how to love others, we need to look at how God chose to love us and how He's modeled that for us. It's interesting to me, we use the word love kind of indiscriminately to point to all kinds of things. And our language, the English language, doesn't have the breadth of words like some other languages. Greek has four or five words for love: eros, storge, phileo, agape. So you can fine-tune what love is, but we just kind of say, well, we love something. You may get a Valentine this week from somebody that cares about you, and they write in there, "I love you." And you think, oh, I feel so good. It feels good for somebody to love you, doesn't it? I'm honored and humbled by your love. And then you hear that person say something about how much they love their dog. And then they say, oh, and I love my new purse and shoes. And you're thinking, yeah, you love me. And that's the same word for the dog and the same word for the purse. Or he says, you know, baby, I love you. And then you hear him say, man, I love these new golf clubs, and I love, love, love my new pickup. And you're thinking, where do I fit in all of there, you know? And I love Hideaway Pizza, and I love donuts. Let's talk donuts for a minute. I love donuts. And so you're trying to figure out, I hope I fit in there somewhere. Where do I fit between the dog and donuts? I hope, does it have sprinkles on it? Is it a Krispy Kreme or what? And so you're trying to figure out what they mean when they say, I love you. How do you love me? And how do I know for sure, and how much? Is it more than the dog? You know, that old thing about my wife and truck and dog left or whatever. I sure miss my dog or whatever. Anyway, we're trying to figure out. It would be helpful if we could fine-tune it, but we can't. To be able to distinguish between loving donuts and loving our dog. I'll quit talking about donuts in a minute, because some of you just going to have to rush out of the room and get something to eat. So how do I know what kind of love you're talking about when you say you love me? You love me like a donut. That may be. You might want to just write that in your card. I bet Hallmark hadn't thought of that. I love you like you're the sprinkle on my... Anyway. I love you like I love my purse. Think about it for a minute. Do you love me like you love your truck? You use it, and then when it starts to show age and wear, you get rid of it and get a new one. How do I know what love is? How do I know how to measure this love? Well, the Bible helps us understand, because here's what the Bible says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is how we know what love is. That's it. He laid down His life for us. And now that we know what it looks like laying your life down for someone. Then He says, then that's how we need to go love our brother and our sister. This is how we need to go love others, based on what we've seen of what love looks like from Jesus. Here's the standard. Here's the measure for what love looks like. It looks like laying down your life for someone. And love may include warm, happy feelings and butterflies in your stomach and sweaty palms and sweet, sentimental words on a Valentine. But when it's all said and done, the Bible says this is love. It's the hard work of denying yourself and laying yourself down, laying your life down for someone else. I've defined it this way. Love is unselfish, others-centered action. The Apostle Paul said, love doesn't insist on having its own way. Instead, it prefers another or it defers to another. Maybe the ultimate picture of that is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He says, not my will, but your will be done. That's love in action. I'll give up my will to embrace the will of God. That's love for all of us, to say we want what God wants more than we want what we want for ourselves. It's evidence of His love, unselfish, others-centered action, giving His life as a ransom for us. That's what He did, and the Bible says this is what we're to do for others. Love is about laying down our life for others. That's the top of the line in love. That's the measure. What did Jesus say? Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. So love requires more than words. It's more than just what you write on the card. It demands a living demonstration. It's laying your life down for someone. So it's not enough for me to think loving thoughts. That's kind of become the world's word for since the world can't say, oh, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm always kind of amazed by that. It's like if you say, well, you know, my mother's real sick or whatever, and somebody says, oh, well, we're going to keep a good thought for her. What does that mean? You know, well, we're having a good thought for her. Well, good. Thanks a lot. Why don't you send money or something more practical than just I'm having a good thought? You know what is that? I don't understand that. I'd rather you just pray. And if you're not going to pray, well, I don't care what you're thinking about. And so, but think about it. Maybe that may be a little harsh. I don't know. When I have a good thought, it's not enough. I want you to know this Friday on Valentine's Day, Paula, I'm going to be thinking some lovely thoughts about you. Save me $25 like that, buddy. I'm thinking some good thoughts. Well, you know what? But I can't see that. And I can't open the box, unwrap the present. I need to see. People want to see love in action. Well, how? How do we show somebody we love them? Well, the Scripture says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. This is how we show love for someone. We lay down our life. How are we going to do that? You know, well, we could take a bullet for someone, but that's laying down your life for somebody. But you just get to do that the one time, and somehow that doesn't seem. How are you going to lay down your life for someone? I in premarital counseling with couples, we'll talk about that a little bit. The Bible says in Ephesians that a husband is to love his wife the way Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for her. He laid down His life. And we'll talk about that. So, you know, guys will say, well, boy, if a bus was speeding, you know, out of control down, I'd push my wife out of the way and save her life or whatever. And I'd, you know, get run over, or I'd step in front of, you know, the robber and take the bullet or whatever. I realize that's not me. One night in first service I looked down and thought of this story and started laughing and thought, well, it's a year of laughter, I might as well admit this. But when we lived at Rolling Oaks, there were all kinds of critters that came up in the yard, and we had raccoons always out in the trash. We had raccoons die in the trash. The night that Daryl Wooten drove us, speaking of Daryl, the night that Daryl and Faith came to our house to tell us that they were resigning and going to go to Bartlesville, I walked him out and walked over to the dumpster to throw something in the trash. Daryl was already backing out of the drive, and as I opened the lid, a raccoon the size of I don't know what jumped out of the trash. Daryl pulled back down and said, what in the world was that? I said, it was a raccoon. They get in our trash. It looked like a dog jumping out of there. I said, I know, it was huge. So we had armadillos, you name it, everything kind of came around there. And so this one night, we pulled down and didn't pull in the garage. We just pulled down in the drive, and we were getting out of the car. Paula was open on the passenger side, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the flash of some large, dark creature that, as she opened the door, it kind of lunged its head into the car, and she screamed and kind of leaned over this way, and my response, boy, you're way ahead of me on that response, right? My response was to go, hey! And I I actually kind of shoved her towards whatever the monster was that was. I'm thinking, she can do without a right arm, and I'll get out of the car and run around there. I realize now the proper thing would have been to try to grab her and pull her this way, but that would have resulted in further injury and would have slowed down my exit from the vehicle. And it turned out, it was our neighbors across the street and their dog rescuers, and for a while, they had St. Bernards, but for a while they had like a big, giant, kind of black Airedale-looking, I don't know, it was just a lot of hair, and he was very friendly, but he would zoom across the street anytime we pulled up, and so suddenly there he was with his just enormous head in the yard, and then I wondered, did she notice that I kind of shoved her towards the beast, or maybe in the heat of the moment she thought I was trying to rescue her, and I don't think I ever said I was trying to feed you to the dog. I didn't know what it was. I got to hurry this up. I think this is an illustration of what I was not supposed to do, because somewhere over here I say something about you shouldn't do this. But we were driving the other day, and Paula said, "Oh dear," and I said, "What?" She said, "No, deer, right there, deer in the road." Oh, a deer. So sometimes we have to be more clear about things, is all I'm saying. Well, where was I? Oh, yeah. So taking a bullet would be one thing, but now getting eaten by a dog, that's a whole different deal. And so I tell these young couples, yeah, that's brave of you, and that's great that you're going to take a bullet, you know, or you're going to push them out of the way and get run over, but will you pick your clothes up off the floor? And will you take the trash out, and, you know, and will you let her put her cold feet on you, you know? I mean, that's laying down your life. These are practical ways that I'm saying, yeah, I'm gonna vacuum the carpet today, or I'm gonna go out and wash your car and clean it up. Those are practical ways. That's unselfish, other-centered action. So, you know, when you were going to go hunting and instead you went shopping and played with the kids that day, that's laying down your life for another. And you were going to stay home and watch the Hallmark Channel Valentine extravaganza, and instead you went to the boat and gun show or something, then that's laying down your life for that person. We know that love's the criteria for the Christian faith. Over the years, we tried to come up with external criteria for what a Christian looked like, but this is what Jesus said: "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, not because of the way you talk, walk, but if you have love one for another." That is the criteria. If you want to see how we're doing as a Christian, how are we doing loving one another? We argue and fight with other believers over certain aspects of doctrine, and doctrinal truth is essential and important, but love is the essential doctrine of our faith. John said, "And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." Do you want to know what the real evidence is of being born again and full of the life of the Spirit? John said, "We know that we pass from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. And anyone who does not love remains in death." We've used the wrong judgment and the wrong criteria over the years to tell if someone's a Christian or not. We can check to see if they use the right translation of the Bible, or take a stand for and vote for the right political and cultural moral issues, if they speak right, if they use the right jargon and look right. But none of those things made Jesus' list or John the Apostle's list. It was about loving one another. If they don't love each other, then John said, it looks to me like they remained in death and not in life. It's about loving one another. So John said, "God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." Love is essential to our lives as Christians. But it can't just be a Christianized form of Valentine's Day. It isn't just sentiment or even lofty ideas. The love of God at work in us is unselfish and other-centered, and it's real and it's practical. So it affects how we relate to one another. It's messy then when we start loving one another as we love God and as we love ourselves. It's messier when we start loving people outside of the church. It's messier when we lay down our life, not in those big philosophical, theoretical ways, but when we actually have to say, "I tell you what, let's do it your way and not mine." That's tough. So instead of candy and cards and flowers, or in addition to, maybe we ought to say that. How about serving and caring and laying down your life for others in practical ways? So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the chapter that we often call the love chapter of the New Testament. And let's see if we can make this plain and practical. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, "And now I'll show you the most excellent way." And then he said, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm just making a lot of noise. I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." Paul speaks of eloquence and gifts and knowledge and good works, and then he says, "And really, without love, none of it amounts to anything. It's just making a lot of noise. It's a lot of show." But love is essential. It's necessary. He says it's the most excellent way. And all the cards and all the chocolate and all the flowers in the world won't amount to anything without the love that lays itself down for another. So if you buy 6 dozen roses to take to your sweetheart and boxes of candy and, you know, whatever else, and that one day of the year you're all kind and smiles and flowers and candy, and the rest of the year you're a jerk, we're going to need more candy and more flowers, okay? All right. It's not enough for one day to say words or even to bring a gift. It's about showing that love. It's about unselfish, other-centered action. So here's what love, other-centered love in action looks like. And Paul begins to tell us, and let me read this, these verses, and then we'll come back and talk about them. So Paul says, so here's where love meets the road. This is what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, let me just tell you something, and we've got teenagers in here today. I'm always amazed at beautiful young teenagers, always amazed at beautiful young teenage girls who then decide, they're going to be in love with a bad boy somewhere who treats them like dirt and is abusive in his words and in his actions, and they feel like, "Yeah, but I'm in love." And so I'm just going to say this to preface this. We're going to go down this list. This is what love is: patient, kind, these things. If that doesn't look like this guy that you're dating girls, if that doesn't look like this girl that you're dating guys, then maybe that's not love and you need to think about it. I don't want anybody to rush out of here and go call divorce attorneys because, "Well, my wife doesn't love me like that either." Well, we're working on that. But if you're single, and if you're 14 or 15 and figuring this out, this is how you figure out what love is, all right? And Don't settle for don't settle for something less than that. Okay, so here's what it says. Love is patient. Well, how does that play out? Can you never be on time? Come on, give me a break. All right, let's go here. 5 minutes and it's leaving. The car's leaving whether you're in it or not. Let's go. Come on. Why does he always do that? Dilly-dallying, right? A piddler. Some of us are piddlers. What are you doing in there? Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Get out of there right now. Didn't that sound familiar? Obviously it does to some of you by your response this morning. Love is patient because it values the other person and recognizes that their needs and their time is just as important as your needs and your time. Love values others, so it chooses to be patient and understanding and helpful. What would happen if you said, "Hey, come on, we're going to be late, let's go, let's go, let's go." If you went in and said, "Hey, I'm already ready, is there something I can do to help get the kids ready?" Okay, Dusty, I know, I heard Sarah laughing over here. But She laughed because that's what you do all the time, isn't it? I know. And after you say that, here's what you do. You say, baby, come on. It'll be okay. No, really, I'm serious. Because she passed it out. You got that, didn't you? Yeah. Maybe I can help. I know the first couple of times they're going to go, don't be sarcastic. Come in here, can I help, all right? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I really would like to help because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm patient. Love is kind. Oh, no. Are they going to be at that meeting? You know how obnoxious that guy is. I just can't stand that guy. She's so smug. She thinks she's better than all the rest of us. I don't know why we even have to go to this thing. Whatever. Do I have to sit by her? Love is just kind. It's not that hard to be kind. You know, really, it's not. We can do this. Do I have to do everything around here? Can't you just... Well, are your legs broken? Can't you get up and get the... Fine, I'll just go... Fine, I'll do it. Love is kind. It has a different tone. Love is kind because love understands the needs of others. Love takes time to look beneath the surface to find... So you've had a bad day, haven't you? And so love wants to help heal the wounds that are there through that kind of kindness. Love chooses to express itself in ways that can be heard and understood because sometimes that kindness hurts and that kindness is so loud that I can't hear anything else. Love is kind and merciful because love understands that we too need and have received mercy. We love others because God loves us just as we are. And we need to be understanding enough to be kind to love those that need our love. Love looks for a way to express itself in mercy and kindness. Love doesn't envy. It's not jealous. I can't believe he won that. He probably cheated. I just figured they lied and got that. I mean, look at that. Can you believe they got that? Can you believe she's dating him? I wouldn't date him if he was the last man on earth. That or unless he called and asked me out. But I can't believe him. Well, I don't care what you say. I wouldn't wear a diamond ring that big. It's just gaudy, isn't it? I mean, can you believe that he gave her that? Good grief. Love is not jealous or envious because love recognizes that God is my source. Love doesn't compare. He got that and I didn't. She got that. They got that raise. They got that promotion and I didn't. You know what? Love says, I recognize that God is my shepherd and I shall not want. And the Bible says He'll withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. If God gave you something He didn't give me, there's a good reason for it. You needed it and I didn't. If God gives good gifts to His children, He knows what's good for you and He knows what's good for me. So I'm not going to be envious and jealous that you got something I didn't get. Instead, I'm going to rejoice that God in His mercy gave you what you needed and God in His mercy and His time will give me what I need as well. He'll supply my needs. Love doesn't boast or brag. It doesn't brag because love has a healthy self-image. Love doesn't need to put someone else down in order to elevate oneself. Love has a realistic view of God's grace. Love understands where we came from. So there's nothing to brag about except the grace of God and His mercy that we're where we are. Love isn't proud or arrogant. It's not puffed up. Well, you know, after all, you ought to feel fortunate to have a guy like me. I could be dating a lot of other people. But I'm with you, so just shut up. And you know, seriously? Love's not arrogant or proud because love values the worth of others too much to hurt them or to put them down. Love isn't rude. One translation says it doesn't act unbecomingly. It does nothing that passes the bounds of decency. It does nothing out of place or out of time or inappropriate. Love wouldn't embarrass a spouse or a friend. Love doesn't act rudely or unbecomingly because love acts in ways that are encouraging and comforting and trying to build someone up. Love's not self-seeking. That means we're not manipulating people, looking for ways to get what we want or to get them to give us what we want. Love doesn't have hidden agendas. Instead, love desires to serve others and in so doing, we're serving God. Love knows it's more blessed to give than to receive, better to give than to get. Love looks for honest, real ways to serve others and not worrying about what we get in return. It's not about getting, it's about sharing and giving. Remember, love is unselfish, other-centered action. We're not seeking our own. We're seeking to please God and serve Him and serve others. And so we look for ways to do that. Don't you like being around people that they just kind of lift everybody else up? through their kindness and they're not self-seeking. I've been around people of renown and power or whatever, and boy, it seems to all be about them. And I step away from them pretty quickly. I want to find that guy that's just happy to listen and to lift everybody else up. That's what love does. Love's not easily angered or provoked. Did you look that? Why are you looking at me like that? Do you have to come in here and do that? You know that deal. If you're married and you've been married for a long time, there's certain little things that is like, really, 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 you're going to do that now? Really, now's the time. Can you just? So easily provoked, really? You're going to run the dishwasher now? Could you just wait a minute? If you'll just stop, I'll do that. I wish I hadn't even gone. Anyway. She quit smiling there for a minute, and I was a little worried. We're going to lunch, Kevin, me and you, buddy. You have to do that in here now. You have to do your nails in here now, right? Huh? Yeah. You gotta, whatever. I won't. You know what I'm talking about. How is this bothering you? It just is, okay? It just is. It has for all these years. It's bothered me, okay? Well, all right then, man. Who did? Well, okay, fine. And you kind of sulk on out of the room, whatever. Love doesn't do that because love's not easily angered or provoked. Love has confidence in the other person. Love has confidence in the quality of the relationship. If the other person is that irritable, then maybe there's been something going on. Maybe there's a good reason for it. Maybe we need to find out. Man, had a tough day today. Let me see what I can do to help. Here's a cup of tea. Let me get you more cotton balls for that. Love looks for a way to understand and help and not overreact. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Love keeps no books on insults or injuries. That's the third time today you've done that. One of these days, Alice, going to the moon for the honeymooners. That's the third time today you've done that. Well, yeah, well, who's counting? Well, obviously I am, because that's the third time today that you've done that. Right. Love doesn't hold grudges. Love chooses to forgive. Love chooses not to hate. Love chooses to show mercy, to extend mercy because we've received mercy. Love doesn't drag up the past. It wipes the record, the slate clean, immediately forgiving when wrongs are suffered. Because I'll say it often, but life's too short to drag grudges around with you, to refuse to forgive others. Forgive and turn loose and embrace the mercy that God gives us and then extend that mercy and forgiveness to others. Love doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It never expects to gain from wickedness or to benefit from evil. Love rejoices when the truth wins out. Love feels bad when others fail or fall. It takes no delight when evil triumphs. And then Paul says, love bears all things. Love is all-embracing. And love believes all things. It believes in you when nobody else does. Love believes all things. Love keeps on hoping. Love keeps cheering you on. Maybe this time, this will be the time. Love endures past the limit, in fact, it endures. I know you'll get it together. I know you can do it. I know you'll come out of this. Love endures. And then he says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is how we're to love. This is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. Now, maybe none of us can measure up, but we ought to be striving that love looks like this. And all of us, how are we doing loving others? Yeah, it can be a challenge at times. Everybody's probably got somebody in your life at school or at work or in the family or whatever that's just kind of unlovable at times. But as we abide in Him and His love and life abides in us, we learn how to love others. And the truth is sometimes it's easier to love people at a distance. But what about those closest to you? That person maybe that you're sitting by this morning, how are we doing loving them? And does our love look like Jesus' kind of love? And that's the challenge before us. But let me ask you another question this morning. Have you ever been loved this way that we've been talking about this morning? Maybe so and maybe not. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you in this fashion. That His love is all-embracing in its breadth and in its scope. That He has faith in you. That His love believes in you. Maybe nobody else does. Maybe no one else ever has. Maybe everyone else said you were a failure or you were stupid or you just weren't going to make it. But Jesus says, I love you and I believe in you and I hope for you and I'm here to help you. Love, His love bears all things and believes all things and keeps on hoping. It protects and trusts and perseveres. His love never fails. He's hoping for you. He's telling you, you can do all things through Christ because He strengthens you. You can do this. His love endures past the limit. And there may be others that have given up on you and you've failed too many times and you've cheated too many times and you took advantage of their mercy or their hospitality or their kindness or their love and they've given up on you. But Jesus' love endures past the limit. And this morning He's willing again to forgive you. If you'll turn to Him in faith, He believes in you today if you'll turn to Him. Maybe you need to be healed by that kind of love and acceptance and forgiveness. Maybe you need to experience this kind of freedom and redemption that comes from being loved so perfectly and so freely and so completely. Come to Jesus this morning and let His love enfold you because His love is real and it is practical and it is life-changing. It's beyond anything the world can offer. Thank God for His love. And maybe you need God's help to begin to love others the way God intends. Maybe it's time for you to make a new commitment to loving your spouse or your parents or your brother or sister or your children or your friends the way God intends. Because the truth is, for all of us, it's more than a Valentine we need. We need love in action. We need love expressed. We need that unselfish, other-centered love expressed through us. And we can devote ourselves to saying, Lord, help me to love others the way You've loved me. Help me to love those that are hurting. Help me to love family and friends, to be kind and patient and extend my love to even beyond what I thought possible. And maybe some of you here today, you've been looking for love and realize today what you thought was love isn't love after all. That maybe you're dating someone, you're single, and you're in a relationship that you think, you know what, that's not love, that's abuse. And I've been manipulated into being somebody that God didn't intend for me to be. That I've tried to hold on to something and in the process I've fallen into sin and addiction or whatever else. And maybe it's time to make some changes and to say, you know what? I'm going to love God and love myself enough to not be manipulated in that relationship. And maybe somebody here, when we talk about love, you've been wounded so deeply because maybe you were abused physically, sexually, verbally growing up. And when we talk about love, you just get kind of sick because somebody told you they loved you and then they abused you. Somebody told you they loved you and then they tore your heart out. And this morning, I believe the Lord wants, by His grace, to bring healing to you, to love you with a pure love that is complete and that's restoring and that's healing, that you can understand God truly, truly loves me. This is how we know what love is. The Bible says that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, for all of us. It's more than a Valentine we need. We need to embrace the love that God has for us. I'm going to pray this morning. I want to ask if you're here this morning, it may be that you just need to come to the love of a Savior today. Or maybe there was stuff in the past and love is a weird topic for you, like we just said. Maybe there was abuse or wounds of some kind and you just need a healing way down inside. Maybe you're afraid to risk loving again because love broke your heart. The love of your life cheated on you. Maybe dad said he loved you, but then he abused you. Maybe that husband or wife said they loved you, and then they cheated on you and left. Love feels like abandonment today. But you want to come and experience His love and His grace. Then if you want someone to pray with you and to pray for you today, we want to do that. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now. I'm going to pray. But our pastors are going to be here at the front. And if you just need somebody to pray with you this morning, you want to make that decision, or you need healing from some of those wounds, they're here to pray with you and to talk with you. So as I pray this morning, if you need prayer, specific prayer, just slip out and come here to the front. They'll meet you here. They'll pray with you. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning for your grace and your mercy to touch the hearts of people here today. And Lord, for some that perhaps have never experienced the love that we talked about today. They never knew that kind of love. The kind that lays down life for another. And Lord, that's the kind of love you have for us. And Lord, if there's one here today that you're not the Savior and Lord of their life, I pray they would open their heart to you now and experience that kind of love that reaches past the sin and the guilt of the past, that reaches past all of our mistakes. And as we turn to you in faith, you cleanse us from our sin and you forgive us. You love us as we are, but you love us into wholeness and into health. You love us into salvation and mercy and grace. Some of us, Lord, maybe are bound in addiction and bound in fear, bound in sin of some kind, and we just think, God, you couldn't possibly love me. Lord, show us again, remind us again of the kind of love that you have for us that goes beyond the boundaries and beyond the limits. Love endures and hopes all things for us, and you're hoping for us today. Lord, maybe there's some here today, they're struggling with loving a spouse or some relationship in their life. Lord, I pray that you would impart to us the grace we need, the mercy we need, the insight, the knowledge and understanding we need to love each other, to love with understanding, to love with compassion. Some, Lord, that maybe experienced abuse, as we talked about, and the whole idea of love has been blurred and distorted by some event or something that happened in the past. Lord, I pray that you would pour your healing love upon them today. Lord, that some of those memories and wounds are washed over and cleansed by your grace, Lord, and that the pure love of God, because you love us in ways that you would never harm us, that pure healing love would make the difference in our life today as we open our hearts to you. And Lord Jesus, that as we consider what it means, unselfish, other-centered action, that we would make the choice to look for ways today to lay down our lives for those around us. That we start here with brothers and sisters and family members and church members, but it goes outside the walls of this place, to the restaurant where we go today, to the job tomorrow, that we choose to love as Christ loved us. And we lay down our lives for others. Let it be for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't want it to sound sentimental or like something out of a card, but I want to tell you, I love you. And I hope to show you that. No cards or anything, no flowers, no candy, but I really do love you. I pray you have a glorious day, and I'll see some of you tonight at 6 o'clock. Blessings and the mercy and peace of the Lord be yours today. Amen.